Coming to you live from our studios on Santa Monica Boulevard, it's This Week in Mormons, bringing you the best in Mormon news, comedy, updates, leisure, and arts. Here we are.
Great point, Jeff. Thanks for the intro. Now, back to the...
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I've got Al here, everybody, to tell you about traffic in the Cahuenga Pass.
That voice. What is that voice? We always go for it.
That's my augmented radio voice, Al. Here I am.
Here I am, once again. Torn into pieces.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's right. I'm torn.
Yeah. Natalie Imbruglia. Gosh. The first music video I ever pirated back in the day.
You pirated music videos back in the day?
It took me almost a week to download that music video.
Why'd you?
As a 14-year-old, try being that dedicated. Maybe 15. Try being that dedicated to any music video.
How? No, I don't know, man. When did you pirate? People did not use Napster for videos. Where did you pirate a music video?
No, I never used Napster. So in the beginning, there was this whole culture.
You're the hipster.
First, it was BBC boards.
Yeah,
and then came sort of the IRC. So like the internet.
Yes, I know what an IRC. Yes, yes.
So,
but you can send files.
I'd go and idle on there, and I got to be friends with a bunch of people. And in there, they have what's called F-serves, and you'd run an F-serve and share music and videos and stuff between each other. And then that spawned into actual FTP sites. And if you can get a good FTP site running, woo, man, you can find all kinds of cool stuff. And then as you move up the chain, you start sharing your own stuff. And that's where you get into trouble and people call your house and your mom gets mad at you and you have to stop.
Al, what do you recommend for illegal file sharing today? What's your program of choice, service?
So I've actually quit doing it today. I've gotten out of the game.
Talk about an entrapping question.
There's a lot on Tor. There's a lot in the just you Tor in general, I think, would satisfy most of your needs. I finally reached a happy moment where I happily pay $50 for my FIFA soccer, and that's really all I need. I used to try and like get stuff just to see if I could get it. It's like, that's a $2,000 AutoCAD. And I'm like, yeah, I need it now. Even though I'll never use AutoCAD.
Did you buy a $2,000 AutoCAD?
No, I'm saying I wanted to play with it back in the day. I didn't even use. You just download stuff not even to use, just to have. I was addicted. I was in a bad place as a child.
I just had to have stuff. I needed.
I was a minor and I never did anything illegal, in case anybody's listening. This is not a confession.
I know it's not. This is merely a suggestion of what if scenarios, things you heard about.
I used to have a terrible cycle. Absolutely. Where like I would download a lot of MP3s and then conference would come around and I'd feel really guilty and I'd delete my whole library and then the next 6 months I'd spend like building back up.
I will say that for audio streaming services and such, Spotify, etc., I've definitely
it cured my pirating ways.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Except for when Taylor Swift took her catalog off. What are you supposed to do then? What am I going to do? Go to Tidal or something? That's not going to happen. People.
I want to hear the new Kanye. How do I do it?
What am I supposed to do? I guess this is loosely Mormon related because we're talking about honesty and thievery. Yes?
Sure.
Piracy is probably the only kind of theft that even Mormons happily engage in. Even while holding temple recommends.
No,
I'm
going to
guess.
You need to stop it. I'm past it now. It's funny because I can get very high on my horse being on this side of the equation now. But I mean, as a young kid getting into computers, that was really all we do is just try and like build servers and
fun to do, right?
Yeah, try and
increase
bandwidth.
You're like breaking the system, you know? Yeah, you're trying.
Daisy chaining modems and all that kind of stuff. Because I was back in the day of the, you'd get two 56K modems. You could shotgun them, where every other bit would go out the other one. You were virtually experiencing 112K bandwidth without the ISDN fees. This was a very, very big moment for all of us.
Oh, I know. I was there, man. Me and Wozniak, we were all hanging out.
Not Wozniak, Jeff. Come on. Anyway. It's neither here nor there, people. We got really nerdy for a second. Anytime that a podcast starts out within the first 5 minutes saying the word ISDN, you know you're in for an exciting time.
I like it when Al embraces his super, super tech roots. See, he studied tech and business, but, you know, he's The tech's always a part of things, but it's lovely to watch him just embrace.
You should see me in Hyperterminal. Man, I can just work magic. Get me into that 9600 baud modem and watch me go.
Meanwhile, the This Week in Mormons website sadly needs attention, but our resident programmer has no desire to touch it.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. There's so many crappy plugins.
It's like, well, sure, I could pay somebody for this, or I could just try to convince my partner just to fix the fonts.
And then I offer to pay people to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm past these. This is an era that I do not wish to remember.
We are so cheap on our show, we still don't have a paid theme, even on WordPress. We've just customized free ones for years.
Yeah.
It's like because we started way back in the, you know, this was back when we would balk at sharing $50 for a roadway in for the evening and be like, I'm not paying $40 for some WordPress theme.
It's true. How recently we were both incredibly broke. You were like 2 years without a job at one point in your life. And I was like, I made zero money 3 years in a row early on in my entrepreneurial career.
Yeah, which is normal.
We'd be like, all right, we're going to Denny's. We'd like one pancake, and we're going to split that, please, with a lot of syrup. And do you have any saltines? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're here now, Al. A towering story of American success.
We started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Now you're on top.
Just like
on the other hand, I think I'm still in the middle somewhere.
No.
Like, you know,
Jeff, you made it. You're rich now.
Oh, yeah, I'm loaded. Did you see that thing going around?
You have an apartment, a high-rise apartment in Virginia.
I'm on the top floor right now enjoying this heat wave that makes my apartment hotter than the other ones.
It's yeah, you fun. Are.
You saw that thing going around this week, you know, my first seven jobs.
Yeah, nah.
Right?
I
didn't even do it because I didn't even get out of college. I've put it together in my mind, and I'm like, okay. Well, number seven is when the job I had while I was graduating college. I don't even have my professional life represented if I do that. So it's just not even worth it.
I was the same. I started, I was a landscaper as an 11 and 12 year old. I was just the grunt that would like clean up after the landscaper because I had to pay. We were poor, man. I had to pay my own bills growing up. So like if we went to the doctor, mom's like, great, now you got a $150 medical bill. How are you going to pay that? And I'm like, I guess I'll start working. This is what homeschool really is, people. It's just free child labor.
It's child labor.
And then my next one was I was the dirt boy. I was 14. I was a dirt boy at a local greenhouse, and I worked in a closet with a single light bulb lamp hanging down, and it was awful. I just fill pots with dirt all day. And they never knew my name. They just called me Dirt Boy. It was like a Princess Bride moment. Like,
sure,
dirt
sure.
boy, fill me this pot, and she'd like dump it out. And I'm like, you just fool.
No, you're supposed to say as you wish. That's what you do.
That's why I'm not married though, because I was like, what are you doing, you crazy woman?
Well, I mean, maybe you're supposed to marry the dirt girl. I don't know, man. Missed opportunity.
Hey,
I'm not sure.
What might have been? Who am I to say the right way, didn't
I? Yeah, I was a classic suburban kid. My first job was at a sporting goods store, just, you know, selling things. And then I worked at Mervyn's, the now defunct Kohl's.
Yeah, you had a cushy life, maybe.
Yeah, but you know what? I think in some ways...
Did you ever do fast food? Did you ever work fast food, Jeff?
Never had to do fast food.
And so I still, someday, if any of my people out here own a pizza restaurant, I'd like to come and work for one day a week. I just want to work at a pizza place. It's a dream of mine.
I don't think like pizza's legit fast food, though. Even working at a Domino's is a different experience from working at McDonald's.
Man, I would kill a Domino's. I just want, you have to let me spin the dough. Not every pizza, but every now and then, I got to get the dough in the air. That's all I'm asking.
A buddy of mine... Mine's father owns a pizzeria in California. If you're ever down there, I can put in a word.
Done.
You know, spend a day there. Okay.
No, I really want to connect into the pie pizzeria here, and I could just work in the kitchen.
Sure.
Maybe that'll work.
Sure. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. I like where this is going. This is a very useful conversation.
Jeff, how was your week? Are you well?
No, I'm not well.
No.
I'm straight up not well.
Oh, you're going. You get surgery.
Things are bad right now. Yeah, it's, you know, you're listening to this, folks. Presumably now it's Friday night. You know, it's late in the week. I am a mess. You all need to pray for me. Pray for Jeff.
Wait, so what brought this on? This is you got the kissing disease.
Sin. Mostly sin. Yeah. I've been cursed because of of sin. Because Heavenly Father
this isn't a serious surgery like a gallbladder or something. This isn't just a normal surgery. Like,
it's an interesting one for you to list as far as serious, but sure. No, I would not call this serious. There's no secrets here. So I'd have my tonsils taken out next week.
That actually is.
I'm having my tonsils taken out, which is routine and something that we'd laugh about for kids, but kids heal from it pretty normally. But apparently recovery is really brutal on adults. So that is, the doctor told me I would have a better time recovering from open heart surgery than I will from this, which is interesting. So I don't know how it'll be. Who knows? It's different for everybody. No way of knowing until it happens. That's just because when you're older, you don't heal as quickly. And since it's in your mouth, you use your mouth all day long.
Like, well, especially you're a mouthy guy.
I'm very mouthy. And
I don't care what it is, man. Any surgery, anytime that like it's a surgical thing, that is terrifying.
I've only gone under once in my life, as casual and common as a surgery can be.
It's still like 95% of the time, it's never a problem. But like, all right, so you've seen 100. I'm due. Your numbers are up. Like, this is time.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned.
Thanks, Al. You're really making this easy. This is good.
Dude, every time I have weird fears about this stuff, because every time I go to the chiropractor, they crack my neck, I'm sure that I've just gone blind. Like, they've cracked some nerve.
Well, that's because they're not real doctors, so you shouldn't
trust
them.
Looking at you, Ken Jensen. I mean, looking at you.
That's the main reason.
No, but like, man, dude, I get so nervous with that stuff. Hopefully you don't die, Jeff. If you do, I will raise your child.
This is my last show,
own.
Potentially.
Yeah, Guy Mathias will be Guy Mathias Allen Doan Jr.
Does that also mean you're marrying my wife?
Well, obviously, Jeff Collins not going to do it. You need a man to step in and grow your family. This is the best of both worlds. You had a rich, full life and raised a son slightly, and then I get to have a rich, full life and finish raising your son.
This is my hell right here.
This is my hell. Jeff, be excited.
I would sit there looking down from spirit.
You'd be like, Danielle, no.
Paradise, I assume. And just be like, no, no, no. It would be just, you know, like the Office episode when Toby came back. I would just be like, no, no, no. It would be the worst. I would make a point to haunt you. I would do my very best.
Yeah, this show right here would absolutely haunt me too. Like, a guy could never listen to this. We can't let him hear it. He would be ashamed of his new father.
I've debated for a long time at what point, when this show is presumably done, you know, at some point. Yeah, sorry, folks. We're not going to be doing this when my kids are like 23. I don't think it's still going to be around. At what point would I let my children listen to this show? I think I have to wait till after their missions. Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right.
And say, here's the old catalog of dad's old work. Have fun. It's really exciting. What? Sure, your grandpa was in bands and you have his tapes. That's more interesting. But no, listen to your dad's podcast for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Do that.
There's a band called They Were Chubby and 2 years Later.
Oh, and there's that too. You can listen to 2 years Later, the greatest band we've ever seen. So anyway, I'm going to be fine. I go in next week. The reason behind this is I've had 2 paratonsillar abscesses in the past month, which are big, gross abscesses that fill up your mouth, make it so you can't swallow or talk, and it's not fun. And if they burst, you could wind up in the ICU. So that's why the doctor's like, yeah, well, we're going to get
rid of they can then. Burst?
The abscess could burst, potentially. When it was still big, I went to an ENT, and I don't want to be, you know, gross here, people, but who cares? It's just medical. He originally, they were going to treat it, to actually numb the area and then poke it and drain it. They poke it and drain the pus out of it.
I had a great moment where I had some sort of a cyst on my backside as a missionary, and I brought a gynecologist who was our mission doctor out of retirement, and he boiled a knife to do this surgery on me, lance the thing, and then my poor companion, Elder Schlegelmilk, had to clean me up 4 times a day for the next 6 weeks. If you ever think you got a rough companionship, people, can I just say you've never had to approach your companion with a Q-tip while his pants are down. Schlegelmilk, I love you, buddy. I'm sorry
you guys
had
an intimate experience. You really built that.
Oh my gosh, it was the worst.
You ever
It's like, what do you do with that? You're like, this is true service. You're doing for me what I cannot do for myself.
You ever been down the terrible corner of YouTube of just videos of people popping cysts and the like?
Oh, gross.
It's a whole, it's like a little village of YouTube.
Trigger warning, huh?
There's
come
so
on,
much
huh?
There. There's so much of it. Oh, anyway, so since Al brought that up, we're not quite sure what's going to go on with the show exactly.
No, I'll go find some co-hosts.
So we'll figure it out. We're still working some things out, but I will likely not be with you for the next two episodes, which for many of you is reason to tune in, I think. So that's great.
Or maybe Jeff will no longer be with us ever, and I'll be broadcasting from the beautiful streets of the penthouse Alexandria apartment that Jeff currently occupies, but soon will be.
Oh, come on. I like to think I live somewhere that sounds fancier, like the Richmond. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Rich. Yeah.
The penthouse. Yeah. Here I am.
It'll be wonderful.
Anyway, so that's been occupying my life. How's your life, Al? Everything good? Hunky-dory?
That was really nice. Yeah, I was in Hawaii for my birthday.
That sounds delightful. That sounds much better than a paratonsillar
abscess.
It was
really good.
That's so good.
I ate my Ted's Bakery pie, had my Pani Popo made by my sweet, sweet friends out there, the Toolers. Very, very nice. And... yeah, had a great time. Got to go body surfing at my Pounders Beach that I love so much from my college days.
It was funny.
I'm walking around campus. So I'm walking around BYU Hawaii, and there's like a group of freshmen sitting in the Aloha Center. And I'm like, hey, guys, how's everything? Let's be buddies. And they're like, all right. Like, I'm like, so what are you doing? What's cool? What's
You're like
fun?
The
What's
guy who never
on?
Left high school and still hangs out with.
Yeah, I was trying to chum up. And I was like, we'll be friends. And then these guys were just like, they're like, you're an old bearded man. And like, for the first time in my life, I was like, I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
I'm an old guy now. Yeah. In my mind, I'm still 20, and I'm just like, maybe a little more facial hair. But they were not having it. They were like, whoa, dude, leave us alone. We're trying to be
Happy
cool.
birthday to you, sir. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. It was pretty fun. And then now I'm home. Home in Salt Lake City, here for Education Week next week.
Good.
All of you will be here.
Find him. Find him, everybody. I was going to be there. Look for the tallest
I'll
person
I'll be
in
getting
attendance.
My mint brownies at the BYU Cougar Eat.
Yes.
And that's all. That's
if only we'd become better friends during your one semester at BYU before we went to Ukraine. Think of the fun we would have had.
We were in no place to be friends back
well,
then.
Well, we became friends after
were,
the trip.
You
so
were much too hoity-toity.
Like, if only
for me
you would have come
then.
Back to Provo, then we really could have. We would have lived it up, my friend.
I could have never handled Biddulph. Just knowing he was near me.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think I ever saw him after our trip.
No, he gave me a B and you an A. That's why
it's
you're.
Because I worked
with him.
Harder, you dork.
How did you work harder?
How did I work harder? Look, you were one of the many who served a mission in Ukraine, and the trip was fun and educational, but a nice excuse to go back to your mission land.
Jeff, I don't
it.
Remember you conducting a single survey in Ukraine.
I wrote the surveys.
Yeah, and guess who conducted them? The
you
speaker
read
of
what
Ukrainian.
I wrote. You read what I wrote.
So who's the harder worker? Who, is it Donald Trump or his ghostwriter? Who's the harder worker?
Who edited the final paper?
Probably Chris Cobb.
No, it was more like 60% Lauren, really. But I was a strong number two on that.
And I was a supporter in there. Just my laptop was really heavy.
Oh,
and got
very. It was
hot.
Windows.
I mean, you know what that is.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
We digress. All right, I'm sorry, everybody.
This
so,
show is
we
all
have
about
some
our
Mormon things, I'm okay Jeff. With it. Mainly Evan McMullen. I think that's the leading story.
Evan McMullen is everything.
The number one question is, why is he in the news? Why is he a thing?
People might not know what this is when we bring it up, so we should do our best to lay the groundwork.
So the candidates for president, Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary Clinton. Gary Do the Deal Johnson. These are our viable candidates that we have. And then...
Jill Stein.
What was it?
A little bit,
2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago?
No, this started on Monday.
Evan McMullen, this dude that I'm guessing he was some sort of an analyst at the Department of Defense, CIA.
No.
He went to Goldman Sachs. I'm assuming he made almost $70,000 a year working there as an analyst. Again, that's the Mormon way. He got a degree from BYU, and made it through all of this as a single man, apparently.
Yeah, there was
a brother,
no there
a
was
brother
no,
in arms.
There was no Mrs. McMullen.
And then he decided he was qualified to run for president.
That's one way to say it. Yes.
Am I missing anything?
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah, he went to BYU, went to Wharton. He was an operative.
I need to look at his resume. Is he on LinkedIn? I wonder if Donald Trump is on LinkedIn.
He probably is on LinkedIn because, honestly, I mean, he's not been a political person before this. And I've got a lot of mutual friends on that front because he's a D.C. politico. I know many people who know him. I don't know him, though. He's probably a mistake, honestly. Let's look that up right now. Let's check out LDS Tools and see if we can find the old boy. Like, why go through other routes to try to find somebody when you can just go straight to your own stake?
McMullen. He's a candidate at McMullen for president.
So he
was the chief policy director for the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yes, for the Republicans.
And then he was an advisor. And then he was an investment banking associate. Yeah, that's not prestigious. And then he's an ops guy at the CIA for 11 years.
It's hardcore.
He managed operations. So he was like the woman in the Bourne movies that, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the new Bourne, she gets killed.
God, why are you telling me about Pamela Landy?
I said spoiler alert.
You can't tell me about Pamela Landy.
She's the best. Just the best. And then he was a volunteer and a deckhand.
He also helped with some. He also did some refugee work with the UN, which is pretty cool. Anyway, so we're talking about some man's resume. Okay, what's going on?
I would not look at this and think this man should lead our country.
Al, you're not setting the table though. So the reason this is all happening is not just because any random person could say I'm running for president and let that be that. So as we know, the Never Trump movement is very strong. Many people who just cannot bring themselves to vote
for Trump.
And there's
the Never Hillary movement, equally strong.
And many of the people do not feel they can vote for either. Some of these people have been weighing Gary Johnson. What I've seen amongst a lot of the Mormons is they don't like that Gary Johnson is pro-choice, as most libertarians are. And that's a big hang-up for them. So that's fine. That's fair, and that's understandable. So they've been looking for a candidate. And if you remember, a few months ago, these Republican operative types thought they had a good opposition candidate.
I can't believe we choose a president based on their stance on abortion.
No,
there's a lot of issues out there.
Can we not add
them up and tally them?
Yeah, but some people care more about certain issues than others. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know that we can perfectly quantify which issues are more and less important. I mean, sure, some get more headlines and have more immediate bearing on our lives.
I think we can all agree that maybe the most important should be like sanity. They're normal, coherent people that can handle tense international relations. That should be their main criteria.
By that measure, Evan is qualified. He is clearly sane, unlike Trump. He is sane.
We don't know that, Jeff. He was in the CIA for 11 years.
I feel like he's sane.
Does to people.
I get a sane vibe from him. It might be because he looks like Moby. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
he does look like
Moby. Or Steven Soderbergh. But or any bald person. They all look the same, right?
the bull from Night Court. Yeah.
Actually, it does look more like Bull from Night Court than any of the other ones.
That's a good lie. So, we're right back to Night Court.
So this is all happening because Republican groups, I'm still trying to figure out who is behind McMullen for president, have been trying to find an alternative candidate to run as an independent, a conservative who is a registered Republican, but who will run as an independent to do the whole Never Trump thing. Obviously, I think most would agree that this is, I don't think he's going to be president. I'm not trying to, you know, crush anybody's dreams here, but, you know,
the long game, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you can win a state, and if neither Hillary nor Trump gets 50% of the vote, so like the 270 delegates, then it goes to what changes in the election? There's something goofy that happens.
No, so here's what happens. Yes, if no candidate gets a majority in the Electoral College, which is 270, then it throws the election to the House of Representatives. And that's what would happen there. So
who controls the House? The Republicans?
Yeah, and it would be the House that's currently in power, not whatever is also voted in November. You know, it's the one that's currently in session.
So then we're in the House, and the having a bunch of them come on and said, no, we're not for you, Trump. You're bad.
There's many have, but many have not. I mean, there are a lot of things to consider here. So there could be a world where, if you look at the electoral math, where Evan McMullen wins Utah. And he takes Utah's 6 electoral votes. And somehow Utah is the kingmaker. Somehow no one else gets over 270. And you got the one guy holding on to the 6 votes necessary to do it. And you could go to the House and try to say, none of you really wanted Trump. Want me. And they could. You could vote for anybody who's running, in theory. I think there are a lot of long shot scenarios here. This seems more just like a purely never Trump ploy to prevent Trump from being
president. I think
if
we would have seen a little more hubbub at the Republican National Convention of people dissenting, this would be a more likely scenario.
It might have been, but the problem was those who dissented from Trump just didn't go to the convention. This wasn't like Bernie supporters who attended en masse to voice their disapproval because there was no alternative. It's not like you had a lot of Trump people and then a lot of really passionate Kasich people who showed up to let their voices be heard. It's just the people who don't support Trump. Why would they go to the convention? So this will be interesting to follow. I believe my interpretation of it might be exaggerated as far as exposure because I'm friends with lots of Mormons and Mormon political people. I've yet to see a non-Mormon post about this on social media is what I'm saying.
Yeah, your news feed is going to be a little bit tainted.
Yeah. So if you're a Mormon, you'll probably see more of this than the average person, but it's still going to be very interesting to see. Like, will Evan seriously go after Utah? Will he just get in there and say, forget it, you Trump people, you don't like Trump, you like a regular Republican.
Now, if you're in the House of Representatives and you get a call from somebody that used to be, what was he, the assistant to the regional manager of the Treasury there?
Sure.
Do you take that phone call? Do you say, oh yeah, you should be our next president? Or do you say, is it sort of a, I'll be our president? I'll be our president. No, vote for me. Does everybody in the House all of a sudden become candidates for president at that point?
No, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what the actual laws are in the Constitution. I would assume they have to vote for registered candidates who participated in an election and were registered. You know, we're on the ballot. You can't just vote.
So guys, what we're saying is a vote for Evan McMullen is a vote for something interesting.
Sure.
That's the bumper sticker.
For many people, it's a vote for their conscience, right? They didn't want to vote for Gary Johnson, so they say, I can vote for McMullen. He was might not win, but
a vote for McMullen is a vote for Hillary. That's what I say.
It very well could be. The math might be there. I don't know. We'll be following this. We'll see, everybody.
Very exciting, though.
Yeah. Oh, bye. Speaking of, did you see that Hillary Clinton wrote her op-ed for Deseret News?
I did see that the USA lost to Sweden in women's soccer, but I did not see Hillary Clinton's op-ed.
That was shameful from the USA, by the way. I mean, really, ladies, do better.
I would be mad, but both of those goals that were called offsides that were not offsides still equal, and it should have just come down to the kicks.
I know, but it's very sad.
So Hillary.
So Hillary. Now, to be clear, Deseret News says they have reached out to all of the three main candidates running at this point. Gary Johnson wrote an op-ed that we saw last week. And now Hillary decided, yes, I will write one as well. Donald Trump, for all we know, is refused, or maybe his will come
later.
Did
you see Trump was sort of lobbying? He was trying to use, I got problems in Utah, so stick with me, evangelicals.
It is. It's becoming an even bigger, the story won't go away that he's got problems in Utah. Trump is going to have problems in Utah. So Hillary, smelling blood in the water, is saying, look.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I can flip Utah over into blue for the first time in many, many decades.
And, when was the last time that happened?
I want to say it happened to
Senator John Adams.
LBJ, maybe, I want to say.
Larry Big Deal Johnson.
So Hillary doesn't say anything crazy here, and she doesn't focus on much of her policy issues. She talks mostly about religious freedom and how important that is. Going right to the heart of something that matters very, very deeply to Mormons, especially Mormons who are put off by Trump's rhetoric about not letting Muslims in, stuff that hits very close to home, frankly. She talks about the importance of religious freedom, how she's defended it for years, how that's been a cornerstone of who she is and what she believes in.
She draws a lot of parallels into that Trump Muslim ban.
She mentions Wilburn Boggs.
Which is a little bit of a stretch, in my opinion. But some people might rally to that cry.
It plays into Mormon's fears. You say Boggs, and that stirs up emotions amongst Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, that's Boggs with an extermination order. I guess not too far off. But there's some sensitivity there.
Oh, absolutely. And she even quotes Sister Rosemary M. Wixom at the end, just very casually, just as Sister Rosemary M. Wixom once said.
Who is our primary president?
Primary, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody quotes the famous Sister Rosemary M. Wixom. She's like a modern day Mother Teresa.
Yeah. So let's see how are the comments here.
Wixisms, we call them.
Wixisms.
I like that.
Anyway, so it'll be interesting to follow. I not that I want calamity for our country, but I'm very interested to see if Utah somehow becomes a random battleground. That is interesting politics right there. Utah. Mm. The Intermountain West becomes the place where it's going to happen.
We've waited for you a long time.
I'm crazy for you.
Let's see. There's a great little mention where in Rio, KSL did a news story on it, but there's a cab driver handing out Book of Mormons, books of Mormons, copies of
the Book of Mormon, yes.
Books, I'm just going books of Mormons, both plural. So he hands these out, and it's a whole to-do. It's kind of a fun little story. Good for him.
So he just gives
equally
them to his
equally important. Jimmy the Mormon and David Archuleta also made a new song with a music video.
Okay.
There are some who would question why James the Mormon is a thing. He kind of peaked early in the career, I feel like.
I think he's still working it out.
He is, but his best work, I feel like, came in the early years. And now maybe he's gotten cocky. Maybe it's a little bit more lackadaisical and the writing's not as tight. You know,
okay. Let's compare him to Coldplay. He made his rush of blood to the head, and now maybe he's dipping down with X and Y a little bit. But maybe he'll come roaring back with Viva La Vida.
X and Y?
With Viva La Vida, only to really disappoint all of us with Milo Zilotto afterwards. You know, and then just keep, and then ghost stories and whatever.
We could see this coming.
So
you heard it here first,
people. Don't continue like Coldplay, James. Now, I will say, though, James has a standing offer to write and record a song for us, and even do a music video with us.
He said he would. We just had to get him the hook.
I will be in Utah.
I didn't understand
in
what the hook meant. I had to look that up on Urban Dictionary, and apparently that means we have to write our own music. So he'll write our own music.
I don't know what a hook is,
Jeff. I just know the hook from Blues Traveler. The
it brings
hook
you back.
Rings me down, and I ain't telling you no lie. Anyway.
I don't think you know how that song goes anymore, but that was pretty good.
It's been a while. It has.
Anyway,
been a while.
Hey, I
don't have a harmonica. That's my normal.
Al, yeah. If you're in town, I'll actually be in Utah in late September, folks.
Jeff, I'll be here. So, are you thinking we do a music video with Jimmy the Mormon?
We should totally do a music video with Jimmy the Mormon.
Dude, I'm in.
And it'll be called Twimmin.
And it'll be like the song Twinning, but Twimming.
Yeah. And we'll just get some footage of us somewhere like by City Creek, just like dancing on a corner.
All right.
Other quick mention. Al, why do Mormons love Pinterest so much?
Because they're women.
So you agree that you believe that women love Pinterest? Also, another quote from Sister Wixom on this article. She's everywhere.
Wait, why do Mormons love Pinterest so much, Jeff?
Because they're women, as it turns out.
Turns out the right answer is women love Pinterest and Mormons have women.
80% of Pinterest users are women. And there's a few reasons, though. They think Pinterest, of course, rewards domestic talent.
I like that this is a hard-hitting news story where they're like, we got to figure out why do so many people love Pinterest?
Pinterest is also drama-free, which is fair. I think that might appeal to people.
How is it drama-free? They have comments.
Yeah, but I don't think Pinterest is this snarky little world of, you know, it's not that. It's just Pinterest. It's happy.
Whatever, Jeff.
It's a happy place. Also, the church just got on Pinterest, last week.
How many pins do they have?
Dozens.
Tens of pins? Where is it? What's their handle? Pinterest.
They link to it in the Pinterest article.
Do they?
Yes, Al.
I should look at that. Joined Pinterest.
I can tell you what it is. Boom.
Oh, no. It takes me to LDS.org, you liar.
Wait a minute. That's not the one. I looked at the other one. There we go. / LDS Church.
IRS jobs.
Though Pinterest has a lot of useful things. I mean, I find people find a lot of materials for lessons and such.
47K followers. Brr. This is all infographics. All of them. Shoot.
Dude, infographics are the dream.
10 boards, 536 pins. They are getting serious.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Well, that's sweet of them. So we figured out why Mormons love Pinterest. I mean, that's pretty good.
Infographics and women. Yeah.
The let's see. I want to talk about the yeah, but discipleship article.
All right. Take me there. Take me there.
Yeah. So this is from the Muttering Mormon, and this sort of this model of like we're Mormons and we agree with all this, but we have this little caveat that we like to believe in our own right. And I go two different ways.
Okay.
Does that explain it well enough? Does that set the
Set it up a little bit better? Do you just mean people who take exception with certain things we receive in conference or from elsewhere, and you, like saying we should love refugees? Yeah, but what
not
if they're terrorists?
Not the terrorist ones. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so sort of that idea. And so there's
funny exceptions.
So this article is just saying like we shouldn't do that. We should not let us be yeah, but disciples, essentially.
Okay.
Which I think we can agree with. There's a little bit of a danger. Well, I've noticed a big trend going around of just like trying to be. I mean, in order to be a supportive, believing Mormon, you have to just be more agreeable. Almost. Have you sensed much of this out there? Of just like the good Mormons are the ones that you know. You the prophet says it, we do it, and that's it.
Well, I don't think that's not necessarily agreeable. I mean, there's an element of that. I think we try to say that, you know, quote unquote, good Mormons are ones who have the faith and exercise a call to action based on the counsel received without trying to pick it apart and decide which parts they want.
Well, this is why I'm a little bit torn, just because back in the day, Mormonism was much more, involved in terms of like, you know, I'm gonna give you some stuff, but it's so that you can go back to your Heavenly Father in your own prayer and receive revelation, right? and digest this stuff in your own way. But I'm gonna talk, and you are more than welcome to disagree with me, and we can discuss and like let's struggle for understanding together as a people. And that has by and large gone away, I feel like, in the church dissension is seen more as dissension and not as like, well, maybe it's a mode of questioning, but even good, honest questioning, I feel like, is sometimes not people, you know, bishops or stake presidents don't know how to handle it. Not mine. Mine are great, but you see this out there sometimes, right?
There's a cultural.
So how do you balance that with the,
like that?
Don't be a, yeah, but disciple. Don't be one that, you know, yeah, no, we need to support refugees, but not one's landing on my land. You know, I got to protect my family first, sort of.
I think one thing is, in a lot of these situations, not always, you're dealing with policy things that aren't necessarily hardcore doctrine, right? And so it is easier to pick it apart. Like, you talk about, the handbook change, for example. That's still been a very difficult issue for a lot of people since last fall. And I think it's very natural. It's natural you might say, yeah, but. And I don't think it's wrong to think that. I think the question is what we do with it, and if we try to reconcile our butt with
so with, go on talk
with the rest of it,
like,
you know, try to come to your peace with stuff. I think it's human nature to want to have question things, and that's okay. But are we building the foundation of our discipleship on always questioning, on polemics, on whatever? Or are we building it on exercises of faith where we still might have questions, but we have an open heart and an open mind and are willing to say, I struggle with this. I don't even agree with this. I don't understand this, but I want to. I know that these things are still, that the church is real. I know the gospel is true. I know these things are sacred and important. I don't get why this is this way. But are you just going to say, but because I disagree with it, I'm just going to throw out, you know, the whole, all the bathwater? Am I just going to say goodbye to the whole thing? Am I going to say this is not inspired? Because how could it be? Those are easy feelings to have, I guess.
It's an interesting place, too. Because, I mean, one of the examples they use is the sort of the Bundy example of, you know, the church unequivocally states that an armed takeover of a federal building is contrary to revealed scripture and inconsistent with church teachings. Yeah, but I only need to support constitutional governance, and I don't think the federal government is complying with its own laws.
Right.
You know, so there's
well, that's just stupid.
Well, so that's, but I mean, that's one like, that's one that you look at and you're like, yeah, don't rise up in arms and take over the conservatory bird aviary. It's a bad move. But there is a caveat built into our religion that says, you know, if your government is unjust, you're actually, I mean, in the Civil War, these men that were fighting the Civil War were not from either side, were not excommunicated, right? There's room for some civil unrest here and there. It's not being passive. And so there's some mix there where, like, yes, 100% agree that if you're a good Mormon, I think that actually falls outside the bounds. But then at what point, you know, we don't want to breed a culture where you don't ask those questions and you're not constantly looking for the right thing to do in some of these scenarios.
That's fair. And it's like, where do you draw the line in those situations? Like, where's the line between, you know, a violent insert? Where's the line between like a coup in Turkey or wherever? And when that comes with consternation, like, you know, respect your government, this isn't the way to do it, versus a well-organized attack on Fort Sumter that results in a four-year-long war, and you're just part of the whole thing. And that's, I do not know where the line is in that sense. Where do we cross the line when all of a sudden it's got the critical mass where it says, no, this is a real movement.
One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, right? I mean, North Korea all of a sudden gets overthrown. We're like, this is the best thing that ever happened. Kim Jong is like, hey, I was a leader, and you guys rose
up. Yeah, so there are clearly, but in the meantime, though, we do encourage our members to obey the law of the land. Look at what we have in Russia. We're not agitating against the Russian government to fix this stupid, you know, this religious freedom law that is this terrorism.
It's affecting
law
our volunteers. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, we're just saying we're going to live with it, as we often do, as we saw Christ do. We're just going to sit there while they throw stones at us and be patient and do what we can do within the system. But you're totally correct that if it gets to be some bigger movement or thing, I have no idea where the line is there. I mean, in World War II, obviously,
I don't know. I just know there's danger in having sort of the sweeping, we take everything literally. You know, the prophet said it must be from God, and this is all, that's all the thinking we're going to do. That's not a healthy culture to develop in the church, I don't think. But
no, I can.
But like refugees is another example. Like I know a lot of people that were like, "Yeah, all right, you said support and take care of the refugees. I'm not going to do that because I have these other things that weren't considered. Like I'm an American and I love America, and how do you get that out of our system? Where like that stuff where it's like, no, you need to love people. You've got to. It's our whole stay, but. But at the same time, creating places for questioning and seeking understanding. I don't know.
Well, I think we all face our personal weaknesses. There's an article. There was a little letter to the editor in Deseret News last week we didn't get to on the show, where a woman wrote in and talked all about, like, she equated it with Pioneer Day. We didn't talk about this one, right? I think we left this one
I hope not.
Away. Yeah. Anyway, you see this, like, active members of the church, good, happy people who say, you know, I don't think we should compare refugees to pioneers. And you think it's going to be some uplifting thing of something like, you know, we didn't endure what they did. It wasn't as bad as this. Instead, it just goes on to say, the pioneers were not terrorists.
Yeah. You're like,
and
lady.
You're like, okay.
You just don't get it.
And that involves a change in mindset. And we all have things where we are naturally weaker or not as informed or whatever it might be. There are things I feel that I'm very well educated about, and I feel like I can make good, informed, moderate opinions on them.
Spain,
but there are things
for
I
instance.
Don't know everything about. I know very much about Spain. Very much about
Catalan.
Spain.
as a language and a nationality.
It's a beautiful language and an ideal nationality, we might say. Anyway, you raised some good points here, Alan. There's a lot of discussion to have about, yeah, but discipleship. How we should try to root that out of our system while still maintaining our individuality and our ability to question and analyze and ponder.
It's a hard bit.
Let's see. I love this little bit here over at the Deseret News. I did not know they have church meetings every day of the week in Hong Kong. And when I saw the headline, I didn't know what the reasoning would be behind it. What it basically means is there's a missionary.
Don't tell them, Jeff.
There.
Make them click in to find out more.
It's not our article. I don't care if they click it. If it's our article, though, everybody, you must click. So as it turns out, like a lot of places, Hong Kong has a lot of immigrants who work in the housekeeping industry who don't get time off on the weekends. And so at the meeting house in Hong Kong, there's a missionary couple charged with running church meetings should anybody show up to worship. And that's their mission, basically. So any day of the week, there can be regular Sabbath church meetings at the main building there in Hong Kong.
I just thought that was very cool.
I love seeing the lengths the church goes to function in different situations. I think there's Skype church in China because there's no official church in China. Just the cool things we do like that are pretty interesting to me.
Where they go, church?
Also, let's see here. If you want to learn about Olympians who became Mormons when they were after they were Olympians, Deseret News has a list for you.
We got some swimmers in there. We got people.
Here's one, though, Al. A stake at a time used a contract for returned missionaries to try to keep them in and not let them drift away, which is a noble cause.
I don't mind this, right? Like it's like when you're 14 and your dad makes you sign a contract that you're going to go on a mission, or if you're Jimmer Fredette and you sign a contract that says you're going to play in the NBA, it's really just solidifying your goals. Jimmer and his contract. I love that guy.
So here's what the contract entails. This was in the Hillcrest LDS stake. It was called the Goal Planning and Personal Performance Contract. There's an image on Imgur. I was going to call it Imgur. But anyway, among other things, you're encouraged to enroll in an institute class, attend weekly church meetings, dress modestly, continue acting like a missionary, which means being socially awkward and not know how to have a conversation with an adult, maintain a current LDS temple recommend, of course, live with integrity, and associate with and date only people with shared commitments and commitments to the gospel. And there are some other ones here. Let's see. Anything else that they put here? Da, 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 da. Attend all meetings. There's emphasis on attending all
meetings. Don't wear sandals and socks to church. Do not wear a yellow shirt and a blue tie. Do not wear Birkenstocks.
No denim skirts.
Yeah. These are all important.
Anyway, so this was a thing, which I think is a noble cause, and that's fine. You know, you put it in paper, it's easier. But then I love the end of the article, Peggy Fletcher Stack, where the current stake president, it just says at the very end, apparently, new leaders there are doing something different. The current stake president has reevaluated the form and determined not to use it anymore. It's like this whole article on what the stake is doing.
Like, they don't actually. This feels like something that some teacher came up with and was like, there's going to be a thing, and it's like, great. No, good for you guys. You'll love it.
If you
were like investigating the church or something, this would feel very weird, especially if you had to sign it with your own blood and you like cut your hand and were like, he who's dead may never die. And they're like, okay, now you're in.
That would be excellent. As long as you stress it, of course, it's by no means a pending thing. You're not going to like lose your temple recommend if you break the contract or anything like that. But I see some value. And I mean, the times in my life, I would create like post-it notes, you know, things I'd put them on my monitor, this and that. Reminders to encourage myself in writing to engage in the ways I wanted to make sure I was doing stuff. And whether that's church or whether that's even beyond church, just professional.
You're like, you keep looking sexy, you monster. Get out there.
Well, I'd put notes, you know, write in your journal. Or when I was unemployed for a while, I'd sit there and be like, no, you got to have goals. You got to write it down and keep a contract with yourself. I would say, you know, you got to do X number of applications per day. Make number of contacts.
It's helpful to, like, quantify what you're trying to do. I mean,
make things happen. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with it.
And, if you're like, I got to go to church on Sunday, I signed a contract. It's not the end of the world.
people ask you why you're Mormon and go to church, you say, I signed a contract. What do you want me to do?
So did you see this other one? The people were calling to bar BYU from the Big 12 over their discrimination against LGBT folk. This is
that's
interesting because
be
as you
case,
boil
though.
It down, the BYU doesn't in principle discriminate against LGBT folks. Any practicing Mormon can come there, and you can be gay and lesbian and be a practicing Mormon. You just can't be sexually active. The same as straight kids.
Well, you can't. Yeah, but then it gets goofy now though that gay marriage is legal in Utah. You can't get married in a gay marriage and then go decide you want to live in Wymount Terrace and live on in campus housing. That's not available to you, you know. So
I don't know how this would be because I'm not gay or trying to battle that battle while going to college as a 20-year-old. I'm sure there's a lot more going on here than like what's on paper, and there may be actual discrimination happening in terms of professors or people getting jobs and that kind of stuff around there. So there's some of that to be sensitive to, but all that being said, should a conference ban a school from coming in because they have a religious honor code? That's an interesting question to sort of come up against.
It puts BYU in a tough place because BYU does well at athletics. A lot of the bigger, even evangelical schools don't have amazing top-ranked sports programs.
Notre Dame, that great Catholic bastion, Xavier University.
Terrible.
Yeah, all very mediocre.
Yeah, I was going to the... I wonder how, what the rules are with Notre Dame. I wonder if there's an analog for Notre Dame to what BYU is doing. What conference is Notre Dame in?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
See. But I was thinking of the other ones like Liberty University, some of the
Mid-American
evangelical schools.
University, yeah.
Random things like that. But fair, very fair point on the other ones you pointed out. Al, I believe you need to go to Scandinavia next year.
Yes, why is that, Jeff?
Well, they are your people, for one. You're proud of them.
Absolutely.
For defeating
America.
I
have a beard made of Scandinavian blood.
I know. I've seen it. You look just like the dad in How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah. Same person.
Aye, Lottie. No, that's not Swedish. I don't know. Keep going.
That was really good, though. Now, many people know of this probably. Hopefully, our European listeners do. Of Festinord. Festinord, as they would call it.
Yeah.
Which rotates.
What is that?
Between Denmark. I know how to do this because I used to work for a Danish company, so I understand these things really well. Okay, so over at Fjestenord, they rotated between Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. I don't know why which leaves out.
They'll
Finland,
kick me out,
right?
Jeff.
Fjestenord,
you saw not, any? You have to be 30 and under. 30 to 18 are the only people that can go. A 31-year-old?
Oh, is that true? I missed that part in the article. You could lie,
Jeff. Look at this beard. I told you I tried to go back to BYU Hawaii, and they knew I was older the second I walked on that campus.
You are going to go there. You're going to lie about your age. You're going to meet some sweet 21-year-old. It's going to be a dream.
We'll have babies.
You're gonna be so happy. You're
going to
be
raise piglets and chickens on a farm.
You'll say, and you'll ask her, like, where were you raised? And she'll be like, oh, I was raised in, like, in urban Stockholm. I love the city. And you're going to be like, how would you feel about moving to a small town?
No, I'll just say, how would you feel about coming to America? And this would be like, what? And I'll be like, everywhere around the world.
And say, by the way, I'm Swedish, too.
No, I'll speak to her. I know a little bit of Swedish.
By the way, as a side note, Al, you'll be happy to know I was at the pharmacy the other day, and the woman helping me was Vietnamese.
Was her name Doan?
Yep. I almost asked if I could take a picture with her.
I love when people are like, wait, what's your name? And I'm like, Doan. It's Vietnamese. And they're like, okay. Like a 6'7" white guy with a Vietnamese name.
So anyway, Festinord is this giant gathering of LDS singles that happens in Scandinavia. It pulls from all over Europe. It's a very big deal. I think I remember hearing about this when I lived in Scotland. I remember hearing some of the boys were going to Stockholm for the weekend. I did not go. And still never been to Stockholm. But I love that they do this. I love that Mormons in areas where there aren't as many Mormons still find a way. Even if it's like once a year, you can all get together, like the Pirates Council, and really
like
make it
the
count.
Pirates Council. That's
you've got
Swedish
that one time
singles.
A year, you know?
No.
Well, out here or out here with the youth, for example, not a ton of youth. It's okay in D.C. compared to elsewhere, but they have their Mormon prom, which is great. And you've got youth from eight states.
We've made fun of Mormon prom
a
number of times.
Get together. And I stopped after I went to the cool one here. Remember, I have a note. I make fun of the ones in California, but not the ones here. It's my policy.
Well.
Anything else you want to bring up for this week?
No, Jeff, I think that's great. Everybody, you should email us, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We would love to hear from you because we love you. Or visit thisweekinmormons.com. We read our blog posts, our articles, our op-eds, our fun interviews, all the funny things.
And you can be on the social media, listen to our other podcasts at the Sunday School Bonanza, Third Hour of Power, which we help out with our fine friends over at
Nobody Knows the Words
This
to
Mormon
Bonanza.
Life. Now, everybody, of course, I will be sorry not to.
All right, quit dragging this on, Jeff.
You hear from me. No. I want to wax sentimental for a moment.
In case you die and I have to marry your wife.
In case I die, it's been really good being with all of you. Thanks for all the fish. So I'll miss being able to do the show. I'm not really an episode misser, so it'll be hard. But we'll make it work, and you'll be in good hands no matter what happens.
I promise I'll take care of it, Jeff. I've never let you down.
And frankly, for most of you, you'll just
I've
delight.
I've never
in
let you down. So. I'll never let you down.
Are you doing the Third Eye Blind song?
Yeah. Turn around.
I'll never let you go.
I know. I had to change it a little bit. I took some artistic liberties.
That's great.
Jeff, we will miss you. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. Well, I am Jeff. I'll speak for Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind. Thank you, Stephen, for your wonderful rendition. And
you're welcome.
We hope you have a wonderful week. This Week in Mormons, signing off. Bye-bye.
I drive you crazy.
She
drives you crazy. All right, let's do it. Ready? In.